Doing our best to answer all of your fantasy questions. This is the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast for CBSSports.com. I'm Adam Azer. You are hearing this on Monday, March 2nd, but we are recording it on Friday, February 27th. If you heard the Friday podcast, you know I had trouble with the date at the end of it, so we've picked up right where we left off. How you doing now, Melchior?
Good. Are we going to talk about Little Bunny Foo-Foo?
No, we just did that off the air. It was weird.
Little Bunny Foo-Foo.
That's Scott White. And
yeah.
We got a lot of questions, a lot of good stuff. I hope people like the mailbags, because I know I've said this before, but I really enjoy them. They're probably my favorite podcasts. We get to a lot of different things. And here's a good question that will help everyone. From Jake, who are the pitchers to target in mid to late rounds with high upside?
Well, that's a very broad question, Jake, and it can depend on what site you're drafting on, since different pitchers are going to be late rounders in different sites. But just looking at my Beyond Top 60 list, guys I like a lot. So Drew Pomeranz is on my sleeper list. I like Jake Odorizzi with the strikeout he had last year. Kevin Gausman's on my breakout list. Taiwan Walker looks like he's going to get a shot this year. I'll take him late. Tony Cingrani, not ready to give up on him with all that strikeout potential. Jesse Hahn, if you go a little deeper, I like what he did for the Padres, and now he has a pretty much an assured spot for the Athletics. Brandon McCarthy, he's on my sleeper list. A lot of names there.
But for some reason, James Paxton, you guys never bring up.
Well, he's inside my top. He's in my top 60, okay?
But he's behind Odorizzi, right?
No, he's 59, and Odorizzi is 64.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. All right, good. Well,
hope you're sorry.
I am sorry. I feel bad. I love James Paxton. I've guaranteed a top 30 finish for James Paxton. It was scoffed at, but I
and
still did
you've
it.
You've never seen Aliens.
Yeah.
Which was James Paxton's best movie.
Now I get that joke. Al, some mid to late round pitchers with
sure.
high upside?
How about a post-hype Danny Salazar, who's not going to be so expensive this year? So there's that.
Okay.
And Scott, you mentioned Hutchison, right?
I did not.
Well, then I will, because I like him as a late round guy. And I also like Michael Pineda. Could be the Yankees' best pitcher this year if he just stay healthy.
Come on, that's not late rounds. I got him 44th.
Well, you might, but...
Where do you have him? You have him 63rd. Okay. He'll never make it there if you're drafting with me, Al. Come on.
All right. Don't draft with Scott.
Yeah, I want to see. I'm actually interested to see where he went in our drafts.
All right. Good luck.
I'll keep going while you look
that
up.
It's going to take a while to find that.
Pineda?
To find the drafts. Unless you got them linked up. You got to go deep in the archives.
Oh, do I? I have the leagues. I'm in the league right
oh,
now.
Oh, you're actually in the league. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Come
that's,
on.
That's how I should have been doing it
yeah,
all this
time. Yeah, it's much easier.
Draft results in the league.
I'm going to continue if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. If you're in a points league, Henderson Alvarez, quality start and shutout, Maven. I don't think we've ever used that word on the podcast before.
Well, with his pedigree, you'd expect that, wouldn't you?
I would. He has quite the pedigree. How about Jimmy Nelson? Now assured a spot
like
in the
that.
Brewers rotation, it would seem. I think he'll be a lot better than he was late last season. I like this James Paxton fellow.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Josh Colemanter. Scott got him for a dollar, actually, in a NL-only league, but I think he's better than that. And if I hadn't been snoozing at the wheel, at least would have gone to $2.
Oh, I'm done. The Colemanter thing?
Yeah.
An NL-only league. Yeah.
Well, we're going deep.
Okay. Not mixed league, though. You're not drafting him. Because you have a soft spot for Colemanter.
I do, but not in a 12-teamer. I'm going down the list now.
Okay.
In that same area, I've got Danny Duffy. Probably not draft him in a 12-teamer.
Oh, I like
but,
Danny Duffy.
I like, oh.
He likes, Al likes him on the same level as Colemanter, apparently. What does that
more than Colemanter.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Duffy was interesting. He kind of, didn't he sort of change as a pitcher last year? Just wasn't getting the strikeouts.
We're talking about Duffy, right?
Yeah, Duffy.
Not as many strikeouts.
Stop walking people.
Much better control, yeah.
Was playing pretty well. Pineda went in the 14th round in our points league, 17th round in our roto league.
Okay, well, we started saying mid to late, right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
So do you like Pineda or Quintana?
I think Pineda, because it's the very incredibly high upside versus the, I don't want to say mediocrity, because that sells Quintana way short, but, you know, steady, middle of the roadness.
Yeah, come Quintana, on, nobody mentioned, but he's a good option.
You got Quintana 16 spots ahead of Pineda, Al. gotcha.
I've been gotcha.
Gotcha journalism.
No, but you know, it's what do you rank them on? Expected finish?
Yes, I do.
Well,
so that's completely different than upset. Well, I know you guys do your rankings differently. Well,
Al starts with his projections, which are obviously on projected finish.
Right. Yeah, and it's not. I adjust, but and maybe I do need to adjust Pineda upward.
You'll never get him if you're drafting with me, unless you do. Never.
He went in the 17th round, Scott. In this Roto League.
I probably had too many pitchers already.
He might have. Okay.
Or did I take him?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay.
Tobin did.
Tobin.
Let's go to the next tweet. John Penline.
That was very Newman-like.
Where do you want to draft if you can't get the first pick and you don't have a third rounder in a 12-team league? So where do you want to draft if you can't get the first pick and you don't have a third rounder in a 12-team league?
I want to draft fifth.
That's pretty specific.
Yeah, because that's the last of the Stanton, McCutcheon, Goldschmidt, Cabrera, Trout group, fifth. And you know what? I drafted second in a league, and it was the worst. It was the worst. It was. I ended up taking McCutcheon because it was a Roto league, even though I'd said I'd probably take Cabrera. And I kind of wish I had taken Cabrera because the end of the second round, all the best players there are outfielders, and all the elite first basemen are gone. So,
oh, that's interesting.
I mean, I do kind of feel like McCutcheon is better than Cabrera, but just the way the player pool breaks down, it might make more sense to take Cabrera. But that's kind of getting off the point. The reason I want fifth is because in the second round, you're still going to have some non-outfielder elite players. You could potentially have one of the elite second basemen like Cano or Rendon, or the elite third baseman like Rendon or Donaldson get to that point, which would be awesome.
Plus, you have a top five
hitter. Yeah.
But you, Scott, think the top five picks are in a class of their own.
I mean, I include Kershaw with them, but I'm just not excited about drafting a pitcher. I'd rather not. If it was six, there's a good chance somebody else would take Kershaw already, and I still get one of those hitters and have an even better chance of getting a Donaldson, Rendon, Cano type in the second round. But maybe it's worth the gamble.
Nah. I'm with you. I'm with what you said originally. I want fifth.
Okay.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Here's an email from Dustin. Dear Ray, Greg, and Dez.
Dez. Ray. Dez. Only Dez I can think of is Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Dez Jennings, maybe. I think there was Jennings, a Dez White, too. Oh, like Desmond Jennings?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Reyes and Tampa Bay Rays. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, I listened to the Outfielders Part 1 podcast today, and now I don't know what the heck to do.
Ah.
I was going to keep Abreu in the 13th round and Springer in the last round, but after your positive talk about Jose Bautista, who I can keep in the fourth round, and dismal talk about Springer hitting 210.
Only one of us did that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So you can keep Bautista in the fourth or Springer in the last round. I know Scott would say Bautista.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, you wouldn't?
I actually wouldn't. No, and look, I do think there's a reasonable chance Springer hits 210 this year, but for the last round, oh my gosh, you got to consider all the upside, too. That's the thing. Like, I think I call Springer a bust this year, not because I think there's a 90% chance he's awful, but because I think there's a 40% chance he's awful, and for a third-round pick, that's too high of a chance for me. But for a last-round pick, that 60% chance he's great is well worth it. Even though Bautista's a value there himself, too, I think the Springer's an extreme value at that price, and Abreu obviously is, too.
And you agree?
Yeah, no reason to be confused, Dustin.
Okay.
We're all on the same page here.
Dear Marty, Niles, and Frazier.
That's from the show Niles.
Niles, yeah. Right, we're so funny. During the shortstop preview, Azer wisely recommended drafting a steals-only shortstop, Only to be poo-pooed by Scott.
Oh, that's Scott.
Where do Scott now suggest we get our steals? This is from Parts Unknown from Greater Kissimmee. Kissimmee, yeah. So where should we get our steals if you're not going to get a steals-only shortstop?
I actually don't remember this part of the conversation.
I do. And, yeah, well, I mean, I've been in this position in some of our recent drafts or auctions, and I've done a lot of cobbling together of steals at the outfield position, number 3, 4, 5 outfielders.
I feel like the ideal roto draft, you're not getting a steal specialist anywhere because, I mean, you'd rather have guys who do more than just steal bases. If you get in a pinch late and you find out, gee, I don't have enough steals,
then yeah, maybe it does make sense to draft an Alcides Escobar type to make up ground there, but I'd rather not have to.
And you're doing that late.
Yeah.
It's not like you're targeting, like, this is the linchpin of your whole auction.
Right. Yeah. Well, an auction is maybe a different story.
Or draft.
But a draft, yeah. Your draft, you can make that decision once you find out what you got stuck with, I guess.
I want to go back to.
Well, I was just going to say, since we're on a Frazier theme here, you know who our Maris is.
No.
Tobin. Always discussed, never seen.
Did you ever watch Frasier?
Yeah, I did watch Frasier. Okay. Funny.
Okay, just the way you laughed at that made me think you didn't get the reference.
I didn't at first.
I didn't get the reference.
Yeah, but now I do.
I thought we were in the same boat, Adam.
I want to go back to Dustin's email. Dear Ray, Greg, and Dez.
Okay.
So Ray is Ray Rice, Greg is Greg Hardy, and Dez is Dez Bryant. And Ray Rice and Greg Hardy both hit their significant others. And Dez Bryant was rumored to have done something like that in Walmart or in a Walmart parking lot. But it's unsubstantiated, Dustin, and it seems like it was much ado about nothing. I say that on Friday the 27th. If anything came out over the weekend about it, then disregard. Don't lump Dez Bryant in with Ray Rice and Greg Hardy until we get more evidence. That's what I would say. Just want to say that. PSA. Ryan, better fantasy season. Garrett Cole, Alex Cobb, Jeff Samardzija, or James Shields?
Samardzija.
And he wants two.
Well, then Alex Cobb.
Yeah, I go with that.
Those pitchers seem to be pretty similar, though, now. Cole, Cobb, Samardzija, Shields.
I put Samardzija up a little, but otherwise.
And I put Shields down a little, and I'm probably in a big minority there.
Bryce Lysamer, which Anibal Sanchez are we going to get this year? 2013 or 2014? Anibal Sanchez.
I'm drafting as if it's 2013 and partying like it's 1999.
Ooh.
But, you know, who knows?
213 was really like, that was when he struck out like 10.
2013. That was fun. I've never heard anybody say 213.
That was.
We took a trip to the future.
That was very, very early baseball.
That is like BC?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you're right. Past. I said future. I was thinking 2-0-0-1-3.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
2-1-3. Yeah, yeah.
At that point, you know, we're not even going to be.
We're doing fantasy gladiators.
We're all just going to be heads on robot bodies.
Fantasy gladiators in 2013. And
yeah.
Whatever Scott said for 213.
Yeah, yeah.
Glad we cleared that up. Anibal Sanchez. Let's clear that up.
Well, what I was saying was, like, 2013, I think, was an outlier on the good end of the spectrum for him because he was an incredible strikeout pitcher. And I'd hoped he turned the corner last year and was going to do that again. Obviously, the injuries were the main thing that happened, but also the strikeout rate returned to normal. So I would say he's going to be somewhere in between in the way, let's say upside is a low-end number two and I'd probably draft him as like a number three.
Would you go Sanchez or Cobb?
Cobb.
Yep. Sanchez or Shields?
I would go Shields.
I'm thinking Shields too, but I'm thinking that I have them pretty close.
Sanchez or Tyson Ross?
Tyson Ross.
Tyson Ross.
Oh, okay. Chad in Santa Clara, California. I have the number one overall pick in my 12-team head-to-head points league this year. This league is extremely pitching-heavy points-wise, with pitchers receiving 5 points for a win, 3 for a quality start, 1 for a strikeout, as well as normal points for a complete game and a shutout. Am I stupid for considering Kershaw over Trout?
Even with that scoring, I would go Trout. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Unless there's something, like, we don't know what the innings pitched are, I guess. Normal standard inning pitched is 3 points. And standard wins is 7 points. Of course, standard Ks are only half a point. So, to me, this probably comes out about even with standard scoring. And,
no.
No?
Because 5 points for a win instead of seven. So, let's say he wins 20 games. That's only a 40-point difference, right? And if he strikes out 220 batters, that's a 220-point difference.
Well, he didn't mention any point value for innings pitched, so I'm kind of assuming it's not three, but maybe it is.
It wouldn't be 200. It would be 110 in that point.
Right.
Because it goes from half a point to 1 point.
Anyway.
That is a big difference.
Go Trout. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're stupid for considering it, but I just think you'll regret it with all the other pitchers you could get later in the draft. Here's an email from Ryan. 14-team mixed league head-to-head categories. I need some advice on how to use my pitching slots. There are 9 slots available and 3 bench slots. Categories are wins, quality starts, saves, strikeouts, ERA, and whip. Wins and quality starts, strikeouts, ERA, and whip, and saves. So 14-team mixed league, what do you think?
I mean, in this format, I typically shoot for a 6-3 split, 6 starters, 3 relievers. Even with the addition of quality starts, I don't really see that tipping the scales because I think they're going to probably correlate fairly well with wins. You might go for different types of starters a little bit.
Well, they would correlate, but they count for twice as much now. They're yeah. twice as valuable. As a good start is now twice as valuable right. as a save compared to a standard league.
Yeah,
yeah. I think I would 7-2 it. I think I'd 7-2 it too, especially since it's a 14-team league.
I've been outvoted 2-1. Yeah. So.
Come on, Al.
Come on, Al.
Get with the 7-2 program.
We're picking on Al today, I feel like.
More emails.
And yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, Friday. Well, you were very nice to him on actual Monday. Phil asks, this is my first year playing fantasy baseball. It's a 12-team head-to-head league. I've just started listening to your podcast. It's been very helpful. But I have one question. I don't even know if there's a correct answer, but is there a best type, if any at all, strategy to try to follow during my first live draft? As far as who to take in which rounds, or does it only depend on what value of a player is available at the certain time? Any information would help. So, yeah, I guess fantasy baseball drafting 101 for Phil in a 12-team head-to-head league. P.S. I love Al. Al is great.
I wasn't in there.
No, I was.
My tears are going up on the site, and, you know, the whole approach there is you break each position down into groups of alike players, alike in terms of roughly how valuable they are, so that you can, as the draft's going on, you can see which positions are the closest to running out of the players of a certain value. If that makes sense, I don't feel like I explained it very well.
No,
but
I'll be honest with you, you didn't.
No,
not
no.
great. But it's very important to understand tiers.
Yeah.
Right. You group a bunch of players together, and you want to get someone from that tier if possible, so you see when those other
well,
similarly
yeah,
grouped players
as you go
start
along
being
and,
drafted.
And, you know, you see at third base there are 5 of the current tier players available, and at second base there's only 1. You take the second baseman,
right.
even if maybe the highest of those third basemen is technically ranked higher.
Right, that's
because
a good point.
It makes for the... It's basically ensuring you get the best bang for your buck on draft day by maximizing the return at each position with each pick. And so I've been going through and posting those tiers at each position on up on the site, you know, going one by one with each position. They're not all going to be up by this weekend, but certainly by the end of next week
today's
they will
Monday,
be. Oh,
so.
That's true. Certainly by the end of this week they will be.
Al, any advice for Phil?
No, I mean, I think what, I mean, not above and beyond what Scott is saying.
Okay, well, then I have some advice.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Adam.
It's harder to find hitting.
Yes.
So most of your early round picks should be hitters. There is very good late round value at the pitcher, at starting pitcher, so keep that in mind. If you are playing in a league with 2 relievers, 2 relief pitcher spots, you do not need to invest heavily in closers because they are plentiful. There are enough to go around.
Quality ones are not.
Yeah, but you would never draft Kimbrel and Holland. Like, that's a terrible strategy.
I would agree. But, you know, in fact, I think on this very podcast not many days ago, I said I would never draft. Didn't you ask about drafting 2 elite catchers?
Yeah.
And then I did. I did that exactly in our most recent auction, and NL-only auction.
NL only is different.
Yeah, NL only is different. And
all right, but
say,
I said never.
I would say auctioning is different too.
And auctioning is different. League specific is different. But I did say never. And so while you say you wouldn't do that, maybe there is some, I don't think it's likely, but it gets back again to what Scott was saying. You have to be flexible and see where the value is at every position vis-a-vis every other.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there is value at relief pitcher late in drafts, so don't take two.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, of course there are. Of course there is. And if those guys bust, you go to the waiver wire and you find someone. Or you pick up Santiago Garcia at some point. Like, you just, it's just a waste of when you need to fill positions like third base and shortstop that have bad value late in the draft or second, maybe they're sleepers or whatever, but
would you
with closers you're going to get in a league with 12 teams and 2 RP spots plus all the starting pitchers who are RP eligible, you know you're going to get guys who are going to get saves and be fine for your team.
Do you make it a priority to get one of your top 12 closers?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do, but one.
I don't.
Not two.
In a head-to-head league, like Adam's saying, where every team's just going to have two relievers, and that's not even counting the SPARPs, which there's going to be three. There's going to be Alex Wood, Carlos Carrasco, and Drew Pomeranz making that pool even deeper.
Those are starting pitchers who are eligible at relief pitcher.
Yeah. Unless I get one of those three, I'm probably drafting my closers in the last two rounds.
Yeah, I'm never quite as bearish on the position as you are. And Al, I would say I make it a priority to get at least one good one unless I get a SPARP, unless I get Alex Wood or something. Then I'll get one of those SPARPs, and then I'll wait till the end to get a second closer. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is prioritize the scarce positions and don't invest too heavily on starting pitching. You can get good value late. I like to have maybe one starting pitcher with my first four picks. I like to have one ace, one like top 10 starting pitcher. We'll talk more about that on the starting pitcher preview on Tuesday. And then I probably like to have two starting pitchers by round 6 or 7, maybe three starting pitchers by like round 8 or 9. And then I probably mix and match. And if you're only playing in a 3-outfielder league, don't get your 3rd outfielder too early. Those are my pieces of advice.
I think those are all good.
Al doesn't.
I mean,
Al's mostly on board.
I'm mostly on board. Yeah. I think as generalities they work, but sometimes drafts and especially auctions don't go the way you expect them to.
Absolutely. There's no question you got to be flexible, but those are kind of the philosophies I go into the draft with. And then if there's a run on starting pitchers and all of a sudden I have to reach for one a little bit earlier, then maybe things change, but that's my philosophy going in. Also, a very important thing to note for everybody, first-time users, first-time players, and veterans. If you're going to look at CBSSports.com and listen to us and go by our advice, just be aware that if you're in a points league especially and you're not playing with CBSSports.com analysts, starting pitchers are probably going to go off the board a lot earlier than in our drafts, on our website, our mock drafts.
Yeah, like, it's hard to know how to compensate for that, because on the one hand that means a lot of elite hitters are going to be really valuable. On the other hand, you can get left in the dust at starting pitcher and that could come back to bite you later. But it's like, I don't know.
Mix and match.
We have our drafts saying this is the way you're supposed to draft, and then nobody actually drafts that way, so it's hard to know, like, should we intentionally make it not an ideal draft so that it looks more like what people are actually doing? I don't think so.
You got to draft.
You got to draft the way you should draft.
Yeah, and I think if you see that happening, if you see starting pitchers going a lot earlier than what you expected, I think you got to stay within that, because you guys agree. You have to have at least one ace on your team.
You don't have to.
No.
But if you don't get one, then you probably need to go 3 deep in the second tier as a way of kind of...
Fine, then whatever strategy, we'll break that down tomorrow on the starting pitcher strategy, but stay within that strategy. If that means reaching a little bit earlier than you thought, then, you know, be mindful of that. Ryan from Banff, Alberta, Canada. Hey, Harry Lloyd and Petey. It's Dumb and Dumber.
Yep.
He says, fantasy football rookie here, but I'm pretty sure he means baseball. I plan on playing in both a roto and a points league, so I'm looking for some helpful tips as far as how to approach the draft for each type. Who to focus on early depending on draft spot, where to build depth early, what position's more important to each style.
We hit one of the big differences, which is in the standard points league with the inclusion of SPARPs. So that does change your calculus for getting fulfilling your relief slots, which in a roto you don't even have relief slots that are dedicated. And then also in a roto league that you will have much more incentive to go for that third reliever.
Because you're trying to because you have the flexibility of the pitcher spots and can go starter or reliever, and you're competing in saves.
Yeah,
you know, you can have, you can spend for two great closers like Greg Holland and Craig Kimbrell, or you can just take three back end ones and end up with more saves.
Yeah, and I would even advise to go for a third reliever who may just be a speculative save source. Like, I think it was actually the last podcast we were talking about Broxton, just as an example. You know, hopefully somebody a little better, but as opposed to a starting pitcher, just because whoever you would draft or purchase as a starting pitcher, you're going to be able to replace off of waivers very easily at that depth.
So maybe I do try to, like, Pat Neshek or Ken Giles, if Papelbon gets traded.
Yeah, Ken Giles is probably the best closer in waiting.
I don't know candidate. That I normally do that, but I get what you're saying, and that's, I guess it depends on what quality of the six starting pitchers I'm getting. You don't emphasize pitching as much generally in roto leagues because there's so many more hitter spots to fill. But just starting pitcher being as deep as it is, usually I could find six, you know, through the Michael Pineda range that I'd rather not use that last, that sixth spot on a, or I guess seventh spot. Or sixth spot. I wasn't sure. Whatever. If whether you're getting three relievers or four, the fifth or sixth spot, sixth or seventh spot on a reliever. Gosh, that was confusing. Sorry. This is why we don't usually podcast back to back like this.
Yeah, we're getting loopy. Elliot asks, in Roto, which category is the easiest to address cheaply at the end of an auction?
Whew.
Saves. Well, no, that's not always true. I've been in Roto leagues where there's a run in the middle, and they're all gone.
Yeah, saves. I think saves are pretty hard.
I wasn't even thinking about pitchers. I was thinking about hitters. I think maybe ERA, just there are good pitchers that are available cheap at the end of auctions.
Yeah.
But
in a quality starts league, quality starts, I know that's kind of going off the board here. We stick to standard formats.
I don't usually think of pitchers categorically necessarily. I just think I'm going to get a good pitcher. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to address ERA here.
No, because I, especially late in the auction when, you know, you are basically looking for specialists at that point, and the specialists you're not going to find are the strikeout pitchers. So I will often, late in the league, go for a whip specialist.
A whip specialist, okay.
Which is why I like Danny Duffy, by the way, because I don't count on him for the strikeouts at this point. But I think it could be very helpful to your whip.
Okay. How about hitting categories, Scott?
I would still say stolen bases.
Yeah, I think that's the best one.
But they're going to be guys who just give you stolen bases. Like, you know, maybe not even Ben Revere, who also gives you batting average, but like Jared Dyson or Rajay Davis. I mean, they're pretty assured of stealing 30-plus bases, but they're not going to play enough to do much of anything else. So you'd rather not be in a point where you're relying on making up ground in that category or any other late in the draft.
Based on the Roto draft that we did, the last five rounds or so, it seems like there's a pretty good mix of speed and power, but not great hitters necessarily. So you got Segura going, Marlon Byrd, Chris Davis, Oswaldo Arcia, Desmond Jennings, Austin Jackson, Carlos Beltran, Adam Eaton, Kenneth Vargas, Chase Headley, Torrey Hunter, Eric Ibar. So I think maybe we're talking, you might get a guy who could hit 20, 25 home runs. You might get a guy who could steal 30 bases. Batting average is going to be hard to come by, though. Batting average is going to be hard to come by.
Very hard to come by. Because I've been stuck looking for batting average guys at that point. There, your batting best batting average option is like a 260 hitter at that point.
Yeah. So, all right. Thank you for the tweet. Trevor asks, how does Kyle Seager not make the second tier of Scott's third base tiers? He's near elite at third base.
Well, I have a simple answer to this.
Yeah?
He's not near elite.
Yeah, it's true.
He's good. He's steady. He's solid. But to me, near elite is Evan Longoria.
Exactly. That's who is in the near elite tier. Kyle Seager's a tier below him. Also, Todd Frazier or Kyle Seager. Clearly, you're taking Frazier. Nolan Arenado or Kyle Seager. Clearly, you're taking Arenado. Like, it's not something you're really sweating over and you know, really debating. And that's how you can tell the difference in a tier. If you throw out two names and you're like, I would most definitely rather have this first name than the second, no hesitation, no need to look at numbers and figure it out, then you know they belong in different tiers.
But with Seager, I asked you about this on the third base preview. He's 27 years old. He seems to get better every year. He finally hit well at home last year. And
he doesn't really get better every year.
He hit 25 home runs and had 96 RBIs last year.
He's always in that 20 to 25 range, though. I mean, he's basically who he is.
But he slugged 454. It was around 425 in 2012 and 2013.
Well, do you think he's going to get better from here, Adam?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Being a 300 hitting 30 homer guy?
Do you see him being a 280 hitting 28 home run guy, 100 RBI guy? Because that's a slight step better.
But I'm not drafting that.
I don't see him becoming.
He could do it, but I'm not. That's not what I'm drafting. I'm going to draft the mean expectation.
Don't forget the Mariners are better now. That's probably a reason why, one of the reasons why his RBI total.
Yeah,
went up.
That was the biggest, and let me pull it up just to be sure.
They finally added some bulk last year, and
but still,
maybe
you look
that
at
helped them.
You look at this third base pool, and I mean, Seager stands out because he's a steady guy.
Mm-hmm. I'd be fine with Seager as my starter. That's not what this is about.
Yeah, no, I mean, to say somebody is third tier to me is not necessarily demeaning.
Right, third tier. Basically, the first three tiers at each position. The way I break down the tiers, anyway, the first three tiers are where you hope to get all your starters. You're probably not going to get all your starters from the first three tiers at every position, but that's where you hope to do it. So Seager's in the hopeful starters group. But sorry, finish.
Yeah, I forgot already.
Sorry.
All right, next up, we got Ty from a town in Michigan.
All right, I think we should put this to a vote because I've got two excellent candidates.
Okay.
Hell, Michigan, and Bad Axe, Michigan.
Bad Axe.
Yeah, you like Bad Axe better than Hell?
What do you think?
I've never heard of Bad Axe, so let's go with Bad Axe.
All right.
Be careful how you say that.
It's in the thumb. It's in the thumb of Michigan.
I didn't know Michigan had a thumb.
Yeah, well,
so it separates Michigan from the primates, from the apes, right?
And also from Canada, but that's another story.
Oh, I was not calling Canada apes, just
yikes.
So everyone knows. Hello, Ernie, Vin, and Jack.
Harwell, Scully, Buck.
Oh, good for you. I've done a few mock drafts. I have found myself drafting three or four national starters, as in Washington Nationals, all at appropriate spots in the draft. What's your thoughts on drafting multiple pitchers from the same team?
I think it might actually, it could only benefit you because you know your two start weeks are going to be spaced out. You're not going to get in a situation where all five of your best pitchers are making two starts at the same time, leaving them to make one start at the same time, and you to struggle to get enough starts to win that week.
So let's think about, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the Nationals, all five of the National starters are in my top 40, I'm pretty sure. Pfister's the one that, you know, might be on the fringe, but I think I have him in my top 40, so there's no reason to be sad about ending up with all five of them.
If I played in a league that was just for fun, and I had like 10 leagues and I didn't really care, I would make it a point to draft all five. To be that guy.
Just to be that guy?
Yeah.
So your leagues aren't for fun?
No, I mean, just like, I didn't care. Like, I was...
Yeah.
First, the only issue I guess I would have...
You probably won't get all five. You'd have to spend so much to get
all
five.
Yeah, I know. Especially the first two.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin and SoCal. Grade the... SoCal. Did I just say that? Kevin and SoCal.
So-called.
Grade the trade. He says, Dear Jimmy, Jay, and Johnny... Sub shops? I don't know. I'm in a 12-team 5x5 category.
Kimmel,
league.
Leno, and Carson.
Dude!
Fallon.
Fallon. So close.
But yeah, you're on the right track.
Right genre.
Yeah.
I'm in a 12-team 5x5 categories league. We can protect up to seven players in the round they were drafted in the prior year. They then move up five rounds each subsequent year until they become a top 60 player. I gave up an 11th round Ben Zobrist and a 15th round Ian Desmond. For a 6th round, Greg Holland, and a 17th round, Nolan Arenado.
Hmm.
I think that's pretty good. Are we grading it?
Obviously. What else do we do?
I guess
it's
C plus.
It's pretty close, yeah. C plus. I mean, Desmond and Arenado at those prices are pretty much interchangeable to me.
Yep.
And I don't know. I wouldn't sweat losing Holland to get some high end middle infield help like that.
Well, it's the other way around, though, right?
Oh, is it? Yeah, you're right. Okay, then C minus. In any case, it's not a bad trade.
Yeah, the value's pretty even. I'd rather have Holland than Zobrist for what's worth. So yeah. I am going to stick with plus.
A tweet from Robert Favre. Who's the Corey Kluber and Jose Abreu of this year?
Hey.
I wish I knew. But I'll make some guesses, sure.
Well, I think you already laid out the Kluber on the Players We Love podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Carrasco.
Carlos Carrasco. Let's keep it on the same team.
There you go.
So Carlos Carrasco is going to win the Cy Young. Why not? And then Jose Abreu. I don't know if this is like non-PC of me, but I'll say Rusney Castillo because he's getting drafted in the same range and coming from a similar situation, obviously.
No, that's fine.
I think that's great because I was drawing a blank, and I think that fits as well as any player. And I'm not sure I'm going to come up with a better Kluber than Carrasco either. So, yeah, I'll just steal yours, Scott.
Okay. You know, J.D. Martinez was basically as good as Jose Abreu last year when he got going.
That's a little bit of an overstatement.
I don't think
it
is.
He was really good.
He was first round good last year.
Yeah, I mean,
like if he does that again, he's going to the first round.
Corey Dickerson, you say the same thing. Guys who probably didn't get drafted and then ended up being Abreu obviously did get drafted, but you know what I'm saying.
You know who I think is Kluber-esque this year? Now the more I think about it, is Mike Fiers. Because it's sort of a similar thing where a guy who's shown he can't get strikeouts, but there's all sorts of reasons on why you can't really trust him. But the skills are there. So I think he could be a top 10 pitcher. I'm not going to draft him as such. I'm not really expecting it. But I think Fiers does have that potential to go from, you know, middle to low in the pack to being an elite guy. He has that potential.
Last one from Matt. Please discuss Yasmani Tomas and where you'd take him.
He's going to be in the like mid-teen rounds for me, most likely, early teens at the earliest. And I've described him before as Trumbo Light. I do expect him to have roughly maybe 25 homer power. Probably not a great batting average. Probably not a good on-base percentage at all, but power and run producer.
You kind of described him as Marlon Byrd, which is a comparison I've seen, but I know you don't like Byrd nearly as much. And I guess I'd definitely take Tomas ahead of Byrd too, just in case he's better than that.
But, and just in case he does stick at third base.
Yeah, that's true. But that's, I think, the fairest expectation for him. He wasn't nearly as the player in Cuba that like a Jose Abreu was, so it'd be unreasonable to expect anything that high.
Will Myers or Yasmani Tomas?
Myers.
You know,
yeah, because again, the third base thing I keep forgetting about sometimes.
I have Tomas four spots ahead of Myers, and it's probably mostly because of the first base thing.
Tomas or Chris Davis with
K? I'm revising and going Tomas, and Tomas versus
Chris Davis with a K?
Tomas.
Tomas or Chris Davis with a C?
Chris Davis with a C.
Tomas or Steven Sousa?
Tomas.
How about Dr. Souza as a nickname?
Dr. Souza? That's better than Yasuza Yaluza, because I don't even think that's true.
I actually like that. It isn't
true. I keep saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If his friends on their that have them in their phone, you know, contacts list, if it just says Sousaphone.
Oh, that's funny.
Wait.
Yeah, it's a laugh riot.
Wait.
Sousaphone. It's an instrument.
Oh. And it's his phone.
I get it? Yes.
That's maybe the best joke Al's told.
Sousaphone?
I didn't laugh, but
my best joke ever almost gets a laugh.
It was too intelligent to laugh at. You know,
that's Al's problem. You got to be kind of dignified.
You just smirk at it because laughter makes you look undignified.
Later this week, we'll break down starting pitchers and relief pitchers. Scott White, you the man.
So are you.
Al, you're very funny.
Thank you, Adam.
It's true. And I'm Adam Azer, and we'll talk to you tomorrow with Starting Pitchers.